Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Sexiest show in Houston right there, baby.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. And the latest is tough news that dropped this morning coming from the Houston Texans, and that is the Jimmy Ward situation. Jimmy Ward, this morning, I first heard this on Payne and Pendergast. Reports out there, Texans veteran safety Jimmy Ward arrested on felony domestic violence charges in Montgomery County following an altercation at his home in Magnolia. He's in a tough spot right now. The way it looks, as I know a report came out earlier from the police department there. Deputies said that the victim alleged that she had been assaulted, strangled, and threatened by her fiancé, and her fiancé is and has been identified as Jimmy Ward. He is currently in police custody at the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, and he is booked on charges. The charges, Clint, are third-degree felonies under Texas law. No bail at this point has been given on this. But this is a very, very serious situation. The NFL has commented and said they're aware of the situation. Texans as well. But Clint, this is coming out of OTAs and mandatory minicamp in which Jimmy Ward had not participated, thought that he had been recovering from a foot issue. This is obviously two separate things. One, the non-field position of this, and the on-field position of this. But clearly, the non-field is going to affect greatly what happens on the field for him.
Yeah, man. Look, I hope for both parties involved, Jimmy and his fiance, that this, you know, when it all comes out, the details come out, the motion settle kind of deal. I hope that none of this actually took place. I hope the actual violence never took place and everybody can move on with their life. I mean, Jimmy obviously having to deal with it professionally and personally. The fiance having to obviously deal with it personally is, you know, hopefully none of that, when it all comes clean, none of that actually happened to the degree that it's being reported. But the reality of it is Jimmy Ward, the Houston Texan, is a guy that since D'Amico Ryans took the job 2 years ago, every month, every year, every season that we get removed from that initial D'Amico Ryans hire, the less valuable Jimmy Ward is. He's an older player that's injury prone. There's no longer a need there for him to be the coach on the field that was so valuable, I think, out of the gate, having an experience with D'Amico in his defense. And so I just don't know that And then you look at how D'Amico and Nick have built the organization, the kind of people they have over there, the kind of guys they have over there, the standard that they've set. This just ain't going to fly. I think there are some guys over there that could probably get into a little bit of trouble off the field and could probably survive it. I don't know that Jimmy Ward is the player that's going to survive this level of off-the-field issue. I know right now football for him and his fiance and his family, the football right now is a non-factor. And again, I hope none of this is true. I hope it all comes out in the wash. Emotions just got out of whack there. But it's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, the what's being said is very, very serious.
Yeah.
And that is a very serious situation. And Clint, I'll answer it for you. I don't think Jimmy Ward is one of those guys
right. That
can get around and get into some issues. And if any of this is true, he is done with the Texans. I would be shocked if he wasn't. He would be. I would assume he would be done with the Texans. And hell, Clint, you don't go from probably, if you're fully healthy, not being a starter when they bring in C.J. Gardner-Johnson and they have, you know, Jalen Petrie and they have, Bullock, who is going to take a bigger role. And you know, you don't go and have those three guys who I think are guys that are going to get snaps prior to you in front of you and then withstand one of these. And as you said, an aging player that has had injuries the last 2 years that he has been with the Texans to miss, you know, big time. This one does not look good for his chances to remain a Texan. So that is the latest there. Anything, I haven't seen it. That's still the latest I've seen, Tyler. Anything else that we see that comes about in that situation, we will obviously let you know that as soon as that is. But Jimmy Ward right now has been arrested and is in custody right now due to domestic violence charges in Montgomery County.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, the Astros, big one last night, man. They put it on the White Sox, as they should, putting up 10 runs on them. They will go at it tonight again. And I don't like to say, you know, guarantees. Baseball is weird. But damn it, Framber Valdez, the way he's been pitching, how good he has been of late. The White Sox, this is not a great baseball team. Hell, this ain't a good baseball team. This is one of the worst teams. The Astros should go ahead and take care of business and win this series. When you got Framber and Hunter on the mound against teams like this,
yeah.
You almost feel that way against anybody. When you got Framber and Hunter on the mound against teams like this, they should take care of business against these type teams.
Absolutely they should. I mean, I think turning the TV on tonight, watching this crew, man, is Campina just stay scalding hot. Paredes is still ripping the cover off of it. Christian Walker swung it well last night. Can he stay hot? Jake Myers is still swinging it well. You look at Cam Smith. Cam Smith, I'm not a huge exit velocity guy, but apparently the last 3 months, month over month, Cam Smith's exit velocity has gone up. And to hear General Manager Dana Brown tell it, Cam Smith, typically when you're looking at rookies like this, late June is when they tend to turn the corner. And so there's just a lot of good to watch with the Astros right now, whether you're just talking about players staying hot or you're talking about players kind of coming into their own. It's a good time to be an Astros fan, there's no doubt, man. And hopefully, I don't know if Tyler's betting it or not, but hopefully Christian Walker can stay hot and get
That's, I was going to say, he's the one to watch. Again, we've seen, I guess I'd call him, flashes to small flashes.
Yeah, yeah.
The one that I remember, there was a weekend they played in Kansas City. Leading into that, then in Kansas City, he had a really, really good, I'd say like 6-game stretch on the road where it looked like, all right, is this where he turns the corner? But then he had struggles, right? Anytime he's shown some of those flashes, it's jumped back with struggles. And to me, that is a big thing to watch. Can he keep this thing rolling? Can he get to a space like Dana Brown said, June, July is where he comes alive? Can he get to a space where it's like, all right, here he goes. This is what they were hoping to get. Because, like, you know, honestly, it's one of the really amazing things that the Astros are in the spot that they're in, seven games over 500 with a pretty good lead in the AL West with Yordan injured and Christian Walker struggling the way he has. So can he string together, you know, multiple games to where in about a week or two we're looking at, all right, Christian Walker's hitting 300 over his last 2 weeks. Christian Walker's driving the ball in the ballpark. So he's the big one to me that I'm watching to see if he continues.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, game three last night, Clint. Thunder and Pacers, and the finals are now the Pacers with the lead. And Tyler, you said to me, the Pacers, they're still favored pretty healthy?
Thunder.
I mean, the Thunder is still favored pretty healthy?
Yeah, yeah. Checked my betting source, and they are still the favorites to win these finals at minus 225, I believe it was.
Oh, that is still, as you said, still a healthy favorite. They started at minus 700, which was one of the biggest favorites we've seen in a while. But even after losing last night, they are still a pretty comfortable favorite. I don't know, man. If I was a bet man, that might be something I might slide a little something on, because for me, Clint, it was the first time leading into the series, once we found out what the matchup was going to be, watching the first two games, even though Indiana had stolen game one, this is the first time where I've looked at this and said, oh, I can see a real path for the Pacers to win, and it is not some sort of like, oh, they got to win all four games like they won game one where they're stealing it. No. You can see to me a path, and it's the most I believe that the Pacers could actually win this thing the entire time.
Yeah, look, I think this is a tough spot for me because I'm not a believer yet. I do think that the Pacers, they applied, you know, the pressure last night to Oklahoma City Thunder, and Oklahoma City Thunder looked like they were running out of gas. They looked fatigued. It looked like that pace of play that Indiana plays with was taking a toll for the first time in this series. And that is definitely the path to a championship for the Pacers. I mean, that is going to determine, I think, the series any way you slice it. But when I look at the way that the Pacers really went about winning last night is – I'm not taking anything away from Halliburton and Siakam and company, but I mean, well, what's my man's name? Little McConnell.
Yeah, TJ.
TJ.
He came and changed the entire tenor of the game. The bench overall.
Yeah, the
man.
Bench overall. But TJ McConnell, him. I mean, he only had 10 points, but man, he swung momentum in a huge way. If you watch the game, and by the way, TJ was the one that set the pace. He was the one that pushed the pace. He's the one that was applying the pressure to Oklahoma City in that first half. And then, you know, the 27 points from Mathurin. I just don't know how real it is that McConnell and Mathurin are guys that are going to push Indiana over the top and win a title with them. So I don't know how much I'm leaning into. It was a good win. Don't get me wrong. They're up 2-1. There's no taking that away from them. But I just can't look at that game and go, yeah, man, that's the path. Because those guys can't be the guys that are setting the tone. They can't be the guys that are leading in score. And that's I don't think that is the recipe for them to win. Although the overall watching the game, like the pace of play and how they controlled the game overall, definitely was.
My thing is that's really how they have done it. As long as Halliburton and Siakam are aggressive, and I think in this particular series, I don't know if they can afford the. They've been able to win some games where Halliburton's, you know, just I'm just going to be a facilitator only. I'm going to go 14 and 12. Yeah, they won that one. They've been able to win some of those games. To me, those two, him and Siakam, have to be aggressive, but within that. They've done that all year. Miles Turner might have a big game. Obi Toppin might get you a big one. Mathurin had a, you know, is like they've got like him, McConnell and Mathurin are double digit scorers.
Nimhard was huge in game one.
Nimhard.
Fourth quarter.
Neesmith, remember he went crazy in that comeback against the Knicks where he had 30 in the game. So they have it coming from a lot of different places. To me, it's the pace. And I got concerned to me by OKC. OKC, I'm watching Shea. He was whipped in the fourth quarter. In fact, he spoke to the media and said, it's something I just got to suck it up. All right, well, now these are every – like this next game is coming quicker on Friday.
Yeah.
And they are running it and running. You can see – like I hadn't seen this happen to OKC much. They're scoring off makes. Like OKC makes it, and they're running it up the floor, and Siakam is getting layups on the other end. And that kind of stuff, we watched it with the Knicks. It wore them down. Watched it with the Cavs. It wore them down. That to me is the only space where I'm looking, wow, that pace, what's that going to look like after game four?
Well, I think the best thing that you put out there in the finals right there, Ron, is that this game, we know that the Pacers, if they're going to win it all, they're going to do it, and their pace of play is going to be a big part of it. And we're at a point in the finals where there's less rest between games. We're going from game three to game four. There's one day rest. If the Pacers, game four is obviously huge because you can't go down 3-1 if you're Oklahoma City. But I think the bigger picture is if Oklahoma City can not appear to be blowed in the third quarter or early fourth quarter, then that's going to bode well for them. If this pace is going to take a toll on OKC, it's going to take a big toll in game four.
Yep. It is. We'll see. By the way, before we jump out, I know Tyler is, hopefully you're on this. You'll be on this because I know you love this. I know you love a little golf. U.S. Open has started, and Scottie Scheffler, a guy that everybody's looking at, he is through 14 the last I saw. Nope. Yeah, he's through 16, actually. He's plus three right now, tied for 54th place, plus three right now. J.J. Spahn is leading the tournament at 4-under at this point. Brooks Koepka trying to hang in there. He's 1-under through 17. Jordan Spieth, 1-under through 16. So those are a couple of the big names out there. But everybody's looking at Scottie Scheffler. He is plus three right now. That would suck if he didn't make the cut.
Sucker's won three of the last four tournaments. He is hot, boy.
Yeah, he is hot. We were looking at him earlier. He found himself in some real trouble multiple times in that rough there. So that is the U.S. Open as they get started down there in Oakmont today. And we'll be keeping our eyes on that as this thing continues. Coming up, Nick Caserio had a couple of big insights on the most important player on this football team for the Texans. We'll let you hear what he had to say about C.J. Stroud coming up.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Nick Caserio, he was on Sports Radio 610, Payne and Pendergast earlier at 7:30. He spent about 40 minutes with the fellas. You can catch that on the Odyssey app, sportsradio610.com as well. Hour 2, 7:30. You can catch it in its entirety. There's a couple of things Nick had to say about C.J. Stroud that jumped out. We heard C.J. Stroud in his media appearance earlier this week talk about, watching old Patriots, old Brady in particular, old 03, 04, Tom Brady in action. And he kind of brought that up. And a lot of us, that stuck with us because, that's given us a glimpse. I know Clint was set on fire about the comment because mm-hmm. he enjoyed that's the direction that it looks like he and Nick Caley are going. Well, I think Seth also was kind of in that space because I know he told him he was glad to hear that he was watching that version of Brady and not more the finished product version of him. But this was Nick Caserio addressing the thought of C.J. Stroud kind of going back and looking at the old years of the Patriots.
I probably have mentioned this or talked about this. When you look at Tom's career, it was almost like two careers within one. You kind of had the 01 to kind of 10 group, and then 10 to 20 or whenever he left. And he didn't start. He wasn't a starter until 01, 2002. We weren't very good. We were 9-7. And then we, turned the team over there a little bit. And then 03 and 04, we were fortunate enough to put ourselves in a position, have an opportunity to win some Super Bowls. And then Tom continued to, I would say, grow as a player. So, again, you have to, through the lens of what they're looking for, is it technique specific? Is it as it pertains to the fundamentals, or is it system specific? And it's probably some combination of the two. And you're always, everybody is watching other players and picking and choosing, but you just have to figure out what can I utilize and apply that's going to help me in the current situation.
That's the part that I kind of liked that he went into it, Clint, was CJ. I think there are some similarities to kind of his game, what we've watched in the 2 years here, but he's not completely the similar quarterback that Brady is, right? He can move a little bit. I would even say that CJ's probably better equipped to make some off-platform throws. There are some throws we've watched, not to say we want to see him doing them a lot. There are some throws that we've seen him moving to the side or moving away in plays that he has made with his legs or thrown off platform, but it is, I liked hearing Caserio go into the point of, all right, yeah, there's some things we want to establish and look at, but they're not exactly the same players. So there's part of it where it's going to be a little bit more mirrored to what it is that CJ's skill set is.
Well, it's always going to be mirrored towards what CJ's skill set is, right? I mean, it's always going to be CJ centric, if you will. But the reality of it is if you're going to take the direction of comparing C.J. Stroud to quarterbacks and stylistically how he needs to play the position to get the best version of C.J., which ultimately is going to give the Texans the best chance to win championships, is C.J. Stroud needs to play the position in a similar fashion to Joe Burrow. He needs to play a similar fashion to your old-school pocket pass, high-level processing quarterbacks. It's plain and simple. I don't care how in love the world is with and fascinated the world is with these off-script plays and these athletic quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud is a guy that needs to operate from the pocket in an efficient manner. We've seen him play the game at an unbelievably high level. When you lead the league in yards per game passing and the fewest interceptions, those two stats don't typically go together. That is unbelievably difficult to accomplish. And that is the brand of quarterback that C.J. Stroud needs to play. That year, he was a rookie. The goal, the priority that year was to keep it simple, allow C.J. Stroud, a young quarterback, to not try to do too much. The offensive line was injured. Get the football out. Protect the quarterback. Don't let the young quarterback get hit a million times because your O-line is injured. The wide receivers got hurt, so you had to get creative. Get the ball out quick. Take what the defense giving you. Don't stand back there and take hits and try to throw the ball down the field. And it worked to the tune of 10 wins immediately and some of the best quarterback play we've seen in years. I mean, it's unbelievable. I put that quarterback play up against damn sure any other rookie. Now, looking back, we can talk about Jaden Daniels from this year. But really, it was tremendous. That is the version of C.J. Stroud that we should all want to see. Not a guy that uses his legs more. Not a guy that throws the ball, gets pushed out of the pocket and floats to the sideline and makes a crazy throw down the field to Nico Collins. Not a guy that drops back in the pocket and we're going to hold the ball and drive it down the field and be more aggressive. And that is not the C.J. Stroud that's going to win championships. The C.J. Stroud that's going to win championships is the one that plays the game as close to Tom Brady as he possibly can, right? And I'm talking about protecting yourself by getting the football out. I'm talking about protecting your offensive line and not make them be all-world one-on-one pass protectors by getting the football out. I'm talking about allow your receivers to be the answers for pressure. Allow your receivers to catch and run the football. Focus on making sure that you've got a great screen game involved and you're getting the team in and out of bad runs and into good runs, right? Those kind of things are what we want to see from C.J. Stroud. And I'm going to tell you, man, when I hear C.J. Stroud talking about it, when I hear Nick Caserio talking about watching that 03-04 New England Patriots, Tom Brady type stuff, I mean, on so many levels, it's the right thing to be doing, and if it all pans out, it's going
to
be beautiful.
It's listening to you talk about it for all last year, during the offseason leading up to let's try to get CJ back to being that person. To me, it seems like it is much more mentality than it is what he actually does. From a physical standpoint, it seems like to me it's much more, hey, let's take this instead of the mindset of taking what they were doing a lot last year.
Well,
it seems like a big difference, and that seems to be what Brady was, a lot of what Brady was back then.
Young quarterbacks need to be held accountable. Young quarterbacks need to be poured into. Young quarterbacks need to figure out who they are. Young quarterbacks are going to take whatever messaging the coaches give them, and they're going to try to do that, right? And again, the first year, the messaging was, let's protect the young quarterback, let's protect an unhealthy offensive line, let's protect the wide receivers being hurt, let's play good offense, not beat ourselves, and see if we can't turn this organization around, right? Year two went to this aggressive one. Here's the deal. We don't want C.J. Stroud, and this is as simple as I can put it, we don't want C.J. Stroud coming to the line of scrimmage and going, ooh, let me see if I can throw this whole shot versus cover two to Nico Collins in the hole because Nico's that good and because I got the arm and because we want to be aggressive, right? Let me make that low-risk throw instead of taking Dalton Schultz on a little six-yard option route or, you know, Christian Kirk on a little just a little stutter route or something, right? Like, I'm just going to throw this because I want to throw it, right? Instead, let's take all this stuff underneath. Let's hit Christian Kirk and folks on and even Nico Collins on an in route and inside and invite them safeties down and then come to the line of scrimmage and go, okay, I'm gonna throw this whole shot versus cover two to Nico Collins because that safety's horny and he's been jumping down all the underneath routes and he's been looking at his eyes are in the backfield, his eyes are in at Christian Kirk. Now I know I'm gonna have Nico down the sideline, right? That's how you go get that route. You don't go get that. We don't come to the line of scrimmage and just go, oh, well, I got Nico. I got this. Let me see if I might be able to squeeze it in there.
Or come within the game of, all right, we're going to get this many shots. We get this many shot plays going into games. Like we're going.
Yeah, we got to take this many shots to be a shot. Yeah. No.
Well, I think
beg a defense, Ron. Beg a defense to just sit here and let me take these 95% completion throws.
I think we've watched, and this is nothing towards CJ, but we've watched a lot of the players in the league that have much bigger arms and much better arm talent, the ability to make the throws that he was making last year and trying to make, change their mindsets.
Yeah. Josh Allen.
Josh Mahomes. Yeah. When the defense started to change things, take it, like Lamar takes it. Like a lot of those guys, we've watched them kind of change the mindset. So I was saying it seems like it's more mindset of what you're going to
well,
take.
Well, we get so infatuated with these big arms and let's be aggressive and throw it down the field and these athletic, keep the play alive and make the coordinator, you know, make his mistakes or his bad calls not hurt you as bad. No, man. Look, there's a reason why, you know, you look up, and sure, there's some freakish unicorns out there like Pat Mahomes and some of these guys, but you look up and there's a reason why a guy, you look at Peyton Manning and the fact that he didn't win a Super Bowl because his arm was strong. His arm was never strong. It was like falling off at the end, but it was never strong. Like Tom Brady, tangibly, he was never in the same category as most starting, long-term starting NFL quarterbacks, right? But these guys were able to win championships in multiple places because they understood to limit the risk, and they understood that most teams are going to beat themselves if you just took care of the football. And C.J. Stroud, the beautiful thing about C.J. Stroud is C.J. can play that Tom Brady game, and then he is Tom Brady on steroids when it comes to, okay, we got to put this thing on your back. Physically, he can make more throws than Tom could, right? So, I mean, that's the beauty, but it can't be an approach. It's got to be a weapon.
Yep. Cedric Wayne, you got to take the boring shots to get the explosive ones. Coming here from YouTube and Twitch. Yeah, just it does seem like it was more. You ever see hitters go to the plate? Actually, not to say ever see hitters. There are many times where you know Jose Altuve's walking to the plate and he is swinging.
Out of his shoes.
It doesn't matter what the pitch is. Like he's made his mind up that he's walking up there and he's swinging, right? And I think there was maybe a little bit of that with that offense with CJ of going into games of I'm gonna get this throw to where you're probably not even looking at some of the other stuff, as you said, the free money, the easy work down there. So I'd like to see if the mindset is a big change in things they're watching leading up to this. All right, coming up, T Mill's gonna make you a little bit of money. He's hot now. It's just one day, but he's hot. He's hot, baby. 80% last night, 4 or 5. He'll make you a little bit of money coming up today. And this defense, it's so special. It's so special, and it appears to be really, really deep. But who's the one? Who's the one they can't play without? We'll discuss that coming up next. Attack that ass.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. As we let you know earlier, guys, seriously, tomorrow's our final trip out in this, what has been a very, very fun Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit. We have made 10 stops. Tomorrow will be our 11th stop, and we will be live from 2 to 6 at the Cajun Craven right off Beamer Road. Come on out there and enjoy yourself. For the last one. Now, obviously, during the football season, we'll be out during the football season every week, but this is the last opportunity for what's been a fun kind of a season leading up into the football season of our 610 Crawfish Circuit. You can win prizes each and every hour tomorrow. You can enter and have your chance to win that. Enjoy the great bugs. That's what this tour has been about. And I'm just reading what I'm seeing, and it says that they have the best bugs in Pearland. So
I knew you did that crap on purpose. Pearland. Well played.
But they got the best ones in Pearland. Come on out, get those in, and good cold beer, cold drinks. Anything else you want, shout out to our great friends at Academy Sports and Outdoors and Bud Light. And this is also going to be your final opportunity to enter the grand prize, which could allow you to win a $500 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. And as somebody who has got young kids, a family, that is something that could be huge. And not to mention, you can help yourself out and your kids, and you could win beer for a year. Budweiser, Bud Light, that gives you a chance when you enter for that. And this is your final opportunity to do that coming up tomorrow as we are at the Cajun Craven. So come hang out with us one final time in our crawfish circuit. All right, coming up a little bit after us, the fellas Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, Texans All Access. They'll be joined by the Hall of Famer greatness, John McClain, will be there to join the fellas. And then you know it, I saw him as I just walked through Area 45, the best late night sports show in all of Houston, Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Chris Santiago. So stay tuned for the fellas after Texans All Access. And Tyler here shortly. He's feeling himself now, baby. He's on a roll. Well, you got another six tonight? Another six bets?
Oh, yeah.
Got another six
bets. Have a six pack of bets.
He's feeling it now. He will try to win himself some money and win you some money. He's close. He's trying to get out of the green. He's at 44% right now, trying to get out of the green. So that's coming up in just a bit. All right, Clint, I'll throw it to you like this. If you had to give D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, and Matt Burke, I hate leaving Matt out. D'Amico Ryans and Matt Burke, the head coach and defensive coordinator, and we know D'Amico calls the plays over there for that defense. If I had to say to you, hey, on this side of the ball, there is one player, and they've got a lot of great players on that side of the ball. They've got multiple Pro Bowlers. They got all pros over there, all pro candidates over there. Guys that are getting paid big money or will get paid big money. Game-changing type players. If we were to ask D'Amico and Matt Burke, who's the one guy you would hate the most to have to play without?
This is an interesting question because, you know, am I quarterbacking or am I D'Amico Ryans?
If you're
D'Amico,
am I quarterbacking
against or am I D'Amico Ryans? Okay, I'm D'Amico and I'm Matt Burke, okay? I've got to go with Derek Stingley. And I've done some thinking since you and I discussed it earlier in the show. If I'm talking about playing 17 games in 18 weeks, I may go a different route, but if we're just talking about, hey, the best teams in the league that we're stacked up against.
I like that, yeah.
It's Derek Stingley. I mean, Derek Stingley allows me to have a really good chance, if not for sure, allows me the ability to take the other team's best weapon out of the game. And that right there alone is just, for me, it's Derek Stingley. The ability to do that, the ability to consider Kamari Lassiter as your number two cover corner, which I think he's tremendous as a number two cover corner. I got to go with Derek Stingley, man.
No, I think it's a very fair one. I think most people would say Stingley. And I think, and obviously, the rest of the roster matters with that, right? Because you look at this and you say, all right, Derek Stingley, if for some reason that bumps up Kamari Lassiter to the one spot, then you're looking right now at, you know, D'Angelo Ross or Tremont Smith jumping in. Tremont Smith made a pretty nice play yesterday, yeah, by the way. But you're talking about one of those guys having to come in and be your guy. And that feels different than maybe other positions. I don't think it's anybody in the linebacking core. But for me, Clint, and I thought about this. Hell, I changed my mind when I initially kind of came up with this thought. And I was one that leaned towards Stingley. I don't think it's just real easy. I've seen some people say Stingley easy or others easy. I think for me, Will Anderson can affect so much more. And I think that's the route I would go. We've watched teams do this Hell, I think the Chiefs did it to it twice when they played the Texans last year, where they themselves helped take Derek Stingley out of the game because they just rarely even threw to a side, and they still were able to get their best guys. Now, I think D'Amico kind of helped them by not following anybody, but it was hard to figure out who to follow when you look at the guys they have. I think Will can have an issue in the run game. I think Will can have an issue even when he's double teamed. As you know, that might take or at least slow down somebody on a pass route, and or that might help, you know, Tim Settle or D'Nico Autry or Hunter on the other side get a one-on-one because he's occupying more than one guy. So I think it is close, but I would, especially if I'm thinking Matt Burke and D'Amico, I think it's Will, and also the other factor you can't let go. I know you're seeing Kamari Lassiter kind of get some of this. It's more than just, you know, what he does on the field for them. I think he is the emotional leader. He is the tone setter with how he goes out about things out there. And I think that is a big, big deal to D'Amico and to Matt Burke. So I roll with it. Someone text in, Ron, Will Anderson Jr. is an edge rusher. That's his job. Oh. Okay. Well. Okay. Stingley's a corner. That's his job. I don't.
This just coming into our desk. We have a pass rusher in Houston, Texas.
I didn't get what the point was on that being his job. Just wanted to tell me that.
Thanks for the heads up, friend. Whoa.
I know. Just got a big part of the job. All right. Let's see you do your thing, man. Come on, man. Add to this. 4 for 5 yesterday. What's the best bets? Let's see if you can get into the green again.
Yes, sir. At long last. We were in that green last night.
There we go.
We had some profit. Dirty Red followed.
Where are the
rocks? Yeah, he did.
Find out if Clint wants to tail another one tonight. He's won tailing two of my bets the last two evenings. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it wasn't broke for the first time in a very long time, so we're going to stick with baseball tonight. Thursday night's best bets, 6 picks once again around Major League Baseball. First, it's going to be a very similar board to last night. I was on this under between these two squads last night. I am now on the over. Yankees at Royals over 8.5 tonight. That's your first best bet. Next, another over. Tigers at Orioles over 7.5 runs in that one. Next, Cubs minus 1.5 runs tonight as they host the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then your three, finish this off, three bets in this Astros White Sox rubber match over at Daikin tonight. First, I'm on the Astros and Framber minus 1.5 runs in this game tonight versus Chicago. White Sox and Stros, I'm on the over in this game as well. That one is also set at 7.5 runs over at Daikin Park. Over. And then one prop, the Jedi himself, Christian Skywalker.
You're doing it, baby.
Over 1.5 total bases for Christian.
So you're treating him like yourself. Like, all right, been struggling a little bit, but now I'm hot. Now I'm hot, baby. One day I'm hot. Let's go.
Hey.
Just keep rolling, huh? Keep rolling.
Let's effing go. Those are your best bets.
All right, you going to jump on that Christian Walker train with him?
I think so. It's the Christian Walker train it is for me, boys.
Choo-choo him at first.
You like that 7.5? You go on the over? You think the Astros are going to score a lot of runs?
I could see the Astros hanging another big number tonight.
That would be because I don't know that I think the White Sox are. Not on Framber tonight. So
it's not
we'll
thunder
see.
You hear it, Dagan. Those are them Stros bets, baby.
Yeah. I'm in a tough place with the Royals right now, so... Yeah, they may give up 9 themselves, so that's got a good shot at it. So, yeah, I wouldn't mess with Christian Walker yet, but I like the Astros 1.5 there, and I like the Tigers Orioles as well. By the way, that game has already started, so folks, sorry.
Damn it,
jumping in on that one.
I gotta be better about checking that. That's my bad. I didn't even know.
Clint, great job. Tyler, great job as always. Tomorrow, we are out. One more time at the Cajun Craven. Come hang out with us tomorrow for a little crawfish circuit stop. Stop 11, last one. I am Ron. The show is always Houston. We love you, baby. Okay, again.
That's not possible. Shut up, Clint.
I'm just telling
you. Shut up, Clint.
Hold on, don't you shut up. Hello?
No, you shut up.
How many times have you been on?
Y'all shut up. Get me to the break. I don't want to hear these awful brags no more.
Text line coming through. Show you're a dumbass. Walker will be 260. All right, yeah.
Hey, thank you, Tyler Milner.